Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's reading is recorded in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 through 10. I shall read a longer portion at the end. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes. In that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, years ago, I had my commercial pilot's license for helicopters and airplanes, and I decided that I would learn how to fly gliders. It was an interesting difference because there was no engine. You were pulled up to 1,000 feet, and then there was that little red knob that you pulled in the front of the glider, and the cable that was pulling you released, and there you were on your own. And it was up to you, no engine, to look for lifts, to find those thermal currents baking off the top of a field or off of a parking lot that would, like an invisible hand, lift you upward into the clouds. In life, we often need a lift. Life is not always happy. It's not joyful always. It's sometimes filled with the mundane. It's routine, sometimes sad. For some of us, it is desperately unhappy and depressing. Even Christians can have moments like that. But there are places to rediscover the wonder and to find that joy in our lives, to get that lift, if you will. And one of them, of course, is in the Word. But as our preacher reminded us yesterday, it's also in the music that we hear this time of year. Just try singing one of those songs. Sing those carols, and you can feel your soul being uplifted by that music that's melded together with those wonderful words about Christ. Jesus Christ lifts our spirit. Music married to sacred text, like alchemy, can work joyful magic in our souls and can revive our hope. But this is Advent, and there's more than that kind of a message. In fact, there's a very sobering message about judgment and vengeance that we also find connected to Advent. What an old hymn called diademing or crowning the right. This is not a message we typically look for in the Advent season when we're anticipating that joy. We prefer those tender songs of love about that little babe nestled in the arms of the Virgin Mary. This message seems to be the opposite of joy, but as we see when you look at it, it is just the opposite. In fact, it supports our joy. And it's really at the heart of this text this morning. And we also sing about it in one of those hymns at the end of the church here, which we just finished. This one: the world is very evil. The times are waxing late. Be sober and keep vigil. The judge is at the gate. And now you see the text here reflected in these last two lines. The judge that comes in mercy, the judge that comes with might to terminate the evil, to diadem the right. Any Christian who takes God's authoritative, perfect word seriously believes it will find sooner or later that their love for that word will be challenged, that the very belief that you have in it will be challenged. The basis for our faith and joy, challenged. That's the age in which we live. It's been that way in every age. And that was the case with the Thessalonians here, who were challenged. They were persecuted. They were experiencing tribulation when Paul wrote this letter, and he encouraged them. And one way that he encouraged them was to point out that God is going to return, and all those who are practicing evil against you, those who are persecuting, they will be righted. In fact, God will punish them. And then you will be established without any kind of evil in heaven. God is going to terminate the evil and your lives will be lived forever in the presence of God. Just because you believe God's testimony in scriptures doesn't mean anything these days, where the church is being assaulted daily. We need to give heed to the testimony. That's a key word in our text for today, the testimony, which refers to God's word, both the moral law and the gospel. It's not either or, it's both and. It's the moral law, it is the gospel of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke about this testimony when he said in John 8:47, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." And there is Jesus' very simple take on why people want to go and reject and attack the church, because they're not listening to his word. They've rejected it. Now, the church's mission is to preach that gospel, to preach the law, and to get even those who reject it, which is what we all by nature have done and continually do according to our sinful nature, which is why we need to hear continually law and gospel. But we are to preach that word. In Jesus' day, he brought that testimony. The apostles brought that testimony to all those that they were preaching to. And yet there were those who didn't hear it. Herod's vicious plan to kill the Christ child was carried out when all in Bethlehem under 2 years old male children were killed. The crowds welcomed Jesus, "Hosanna to the Son of David," on Palm Sunday, and yet weeks later they were yelling, "Crucify, crucify." And the enemy is not just there, it's here. And so we need to be aware of that. The enemy is within and it is without. God's church is under attack, just as the United States was under attack September 11th. And as Christians or citizens, you know what our first response oftentimes is? It's revenge, to go and to get even, to retaliate. We're finding that our retaliation on a national level has a few more problems than we anticipated. It's not our responsibility, but God's, to seek revenge against evildoers. This is the Advent theme, really, of today's text. Of course, every sovereign nation has an ability and a right to defend itself. But we will never be able to carry out revenge against people who wrong us, whether on a personal or on a national or corporate level. It cannot be done. We need to listen to the testimony. God is the great terminator of evil. To those who believe God's testimony, they recognize that. We recognize it. And God diadems, he crowns the right. There is a day coming when God will reverse that evil, and we will see that we will be glorified, and we will share eternity together with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, worshiping forever the one who has brought us out of this life of evil, of death. He will return as a terminator of evil, punishing all those evildoers that have wronged us, and he will permanently remove evil from our lives. And that's why this is such an encouraging text. It's not about joy, it's about destruction. But joy is oftentimes removed from us because of all these things, these evils that live within and without. When God removes them, we will have perfect joy in heaven. And then he's already done that in Jesus Christ. By faith alone, all of those things are removed. We have to suffer through those things that our body will have to put up with in this life. But God has guaranteed us our home in heaven. The great adjudicator is talked about here. He will give everlasting life to you because you believed the testimony about his Son, Jesus Christ. So then listen to the full force of how my words come through in this text as I read the preceding three verses to those that you have printed in your text, and you'll see very clearly this truth. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and following. "It is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. This is our text.